What's up, Beast Place?
August 21st?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm talking to a buddy of mine about video games, and he's like, you don't play Madden anymore? And I'm like, no. No, I don't.
It's weird, because as much as I've talked about video games on here, you would think that I spent my youth in front of a Nintendo. That's not the case. I was a little kid, I wanted an Atari, and I got something called a Odyssey, which is like, it's the same quality, slightly different games, but Atari was like the brand name that everybody knew about that was like real simple. It was two controllers, one button and a stick, and you played the games that were like in the arcade. Well, a company called, and that was Atari was the name of the company. I think they actually still make video games. At the time, there were other things you could get. Like there was Pong, and there was something called a Magnavox Odyssey, and that's what I got. Not because I asked for Atari, I got Magnavox. Magnavox was kind of a pain because you couldn't just buy games at the store. They didn't have that model. This is Magnavox, which if you remember is an old American electronics manufacturer, which may not exist anymore. In fact, I'm pretty sure. But at the time, it was like if you walked into like a Sears or a Kmart, Walmart equivalent, Target equivalents, half the TVs were Magnavox. Okay, VCRs, which is like a DVD player, which is like a streaming service, except you had to buy the box. It's a piece of electronics, right? It's a thing you had to attach to to play something called video cassettes, which is a spool of magnetic tape. All right, got that out of the way. Anyway, Magnavox is a huge company, so this isn't like you're getting off. It's not like you want a Nike and your mom went to Goodwill and got you Nokia. This is like a real thing. And not only that, but it's far superior in many ways to Atari. It had a keyboard. You could do, and one of the reasons my parents bought it was, we'll buy him these math video games and he'll do math. The games were like $6, the expensive one. Put that in perspective, they're 10 times that. It didn't work that way because I just didn't play the math. It was like, you have to play this for 20 minutes or something. And I would play it for 20 minutes. Or the second they walked out the room, out came that card. Because they were like, so old video games, you didn't download them. They didn't come on a DVD or Blu-ray. They came in a cartridge. It was like a box with some electronics in it. It's, put it in modern terms, kind of like a flash drive. In fact, it was. It was a little flash memory drive. That's how it worked. It didn't require power to keep the memory. It was non-magnetic. Like, it wasn't, there was no moving parts. So, like, a hard drive with moving parts. Older hard, nowadays, it's all going to be solid state. But it used to be, a hard drive was a series of magnetic discs that spun. And now, what you have is just circuitry. And that's what these things were essentially flash drives. You bought, the game came on a flash or thumb drive, which even that today, I think, I'm talking to some people like, well, what are you talking about? Right? Everything's downloaded. I've got, like, 30 games on my Xbox. They're in the cloud. Every time I want to play it, it's annoying. Okay, this is true. It's annoying. You want to go on your Xbox, you want to play Fallout 3 that you haven't played in 10 years? Like, oh, it'd be cool if I, like, run around the Capital Wasteland for a while. Yeah, great. Except, it's going to take 45 minutes for it to download because your kids are watching Disney Plus. And then by the time it downloads, you played another game and then it's time for dinner and then it's over. And then, like, maybe 3 weeks later, you get to play it. But that actually is way more convenient than having shelves full of, or worse, those cartridges, because they were like 1-2 inches thick. But I had that, played that for a while as a way little kid. I was never actually really into any of the games. They all kind of blew. It's not the fault of it's the graphics at the time were really bad. The gameplay was very shallow. And even as an 8-year-old, I was like, this is kind of repetitive, whatever. And then there was no games I didn't even really ask anymore. As a little kid, I didn't care. Up until about, I think it was like second or third grade that I like had anything. I didn't have any desire as a little kid. It's actually, you don't want to be this way because it makes you like, you lack drive sometimes because you're just like, eh. But anyway, I just went outside and I played in the, as a little kid. As a littler kid, when I lived in the city, I just went and playground. And then I played in the woods when we lived in Salem, Ohio, or on the street or something, or watched TV or whatever. So was not a great whatever. And through elementary school, I discovered football and friends. So I had a buddy of mine had an Atari, and we occasionally played it. But it mostly sat silent. Because when we get together, we'd do things that we couldn't do alone. I think that was part of it. That in any case, there's no point. Go out and play softball or something. Like, we play a lot of, like, we played baseball some, but baseball is a sport that really requires a lot of people. You can get away with playing soccer with, like, four people on a smaller field. You can get away with football being, like, even two-on-two. There's something to it. Three people playing baseball is kind of whack because the pitcher can't really pitch. It's barely batting practice. One-on-one wiffle ball is fun as real. Anyway, in fact, I remember once I was a junior in high school, and my girlfriend at the time, her parents were like, hey, we need someone to watch these kids. We were over there, and like, Nick, go watch the kids. I'm like, hey, can't say no. I'm not. I was never really. This is the only family that, like, really. Although, I'm thinking that at least one seemed to be entirely neutral. I had no dealings with them, but they let me spend the night at the house. I don't know whatever that means. And then another one disliked me actively, like, was like, you shouldn't date him, hated me. And then the third, I guess, liked me. So that's about an even split of the girls I date on a regular basis, whose parents I met. I dated a few other chicks, but it didn't get serious enough for me to meet their families. It's like, hey, go watch these kids. So I don't know what to do. And they're just, I'm like, okay, let's play baseball. So they're all into that because dad's into it. Because baseball is definitely old man sport. It's grandpa. No offense to people that play baseball and like it. Both my brother-in-laws are actually quite successful at it. Meaning, I think one of them even played in college. But in today's world, like, if you think about what people are watching, what people are into, they're into football. I think that's driven very much by a couple things. One, and this is for college and NFL. One is gambling. Two is a subcategory of gambling called fantasy football. Three, it's like the cool thing, right? It just happens to be the cool thing right now. And I think four, nobody plays it though. That's what always confused. Almost every little kid plays baseball and soccer. No one watches. This is a sport you played, but you watch this other sport you've never played. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I think it's driven by the fact that it's easy to gamble on. And then college football is strongly driven by the fact it's essentially the pro team in the areas where it's really popular. Now, LA has two big-time programs, and there's another one in Northern California, which coincide with professional teams. However, for a long time, there was no professional football in LA. One. Two, the sort of like, they're national schools. So UCLA and USC, Cal, they're national schools. If you go to New York, those kind of regional, like, you know, the Ivy League gave up on sports. They were like, we can't maintain our GPAs and have athletics that can compete with Alabama. So we're not going to even try in football. They do in basketball because it's a little bit easier, cost less money. They're like, we don't want to spend any of our $40 billion in endowment. Someday, you know what? Someday, this thing, like, really needs to be dealt with is our educational system in a hard way. I think there is a lot of things that are wrong with our country that are not changing because there's a few people that are really, and this has been talked about 100 times, the effect of it's in economics, you'll study this effect. It's like very few people get a lot out of something that everybody else has to pay a tiny bit. And I can't remember the name of the phenomenon. Essentially explains, what is this weird law that says that lumberjacks get... And you're like, oh yeah, because the lumberjack union came down on these politicians and was like, they make huge profit, but nobody really loses. But then these things stack up on society, and then society as a whole eats it. But the people that are benefiting get a lot out of it. You think about academia and all the goofiness, especially with blank, fill in the blank studies. How many professors? And then not only that, but you got, you know, whole sections of the school devoted to, like, diversity and inclusion. I don't know why you need a special office. Diversity just happens. Like, I don't get it. It just happens. It's, like, unavoidable. Like, but you need a special. I think it's just a higher. I really do. And by the way, I don't have a problem with that. But if you create a hiring program, like, okay, I need these people to work. They need something to, okay, if I just give them money, just giving people money is bad. I don't know why. It wouldn't be for me. If suddenly tomorrow the U.S. government said, look, we just want you out of the labor pool, here's $150K or whatever a year. Just don't get arrested. Don't try to get another job. Don't do anything else for money. And don't volunteer, okay? You can do no work. You can do hobbies, but you can't go and anything that makes money, you cannot do that, okay? That's like the, okay, no problem. Done. And I would be the happiest person. I would lift weights. I would go to jujitsu. I would raise my kids. I'd play Xbox when I had a chance. I wouldn't even get to, because my kid gets up at, like, if 8:30, as late, at 8:30 is you hand him an iPhone and he watches TV in bed for the first, like, hour in the morning. So I don't get to sleep in, nothing. I would take trips to the, I would go to the pool, I'd go to the museum, I would, let's say it was a lot, let's say it was $50,000 a year, so now it's cramped. I would, like, you could live in a barely nice neighborhood and send your kids to a decent school at that salary, and I would just move on. I don't get bored. Now, iPhone makes it impossible for anyone to get bored, but before that, there was some point, it was the military, it was being deployed. And this is before iPhone or anything, before, like, when I remember from my last deployment, I bought a Game Boy Advance. I'd had a regular Game Boy on one of my deployments and found it to be, like, great, because you could stick it in your pocket. And when you hit, there's a lot of just sit there and stare at a wall in those situations, you pull that guy out and blah, 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 blah. You can't really, like, sometimes I carried a book or a magazine or something. There's just a lot of sitting in an aircraft staring, like, at least on a boat. There were times with wind where we would sit for 3 or 4 hours waiting for winds to change, because there was something we were supposed to do. And it was like, okay, well, we don't know. Let's see what we can do. And you're like, why don't you just turn the boat around? You can't, because it's very, the wind has to be like very, there's a very little leeway to the wind. You know, I need it to be more or less from my front. I need it to, and like, if you have a wind going one way, I guess you could turn around. Well, that would just give you a tail. You could slow down. They slow down and they can speed up. There's minimum wind requirements too. But the boat can go fast enough that it makes up for that. So you're just staring at, like, you're just staring at a console. You're just sitting there like, why? And the weirdest one was, like, I remember once I'm in the aircraft, it's like shaking from the wind. And you're like, Jesus, something's going to break. And then you realize, oh, it's an airplane. 70 knots on the indicator. I was like, on the speedometer. It's not called airspeed indicator. For everybody else, speedometer. And you're like, oh my God, we're going 75 miles an hour. You weren't. I mean, there were times where the boat rocked so hard that if you were staring just straight out, and normally you'd get half of your horizon is the sky and half is the water, and it would be all sky. And the boat would come down and it'd be all water. There were, you could sit in some of these winds, you could stand at a 30 degree angle. In fact, it's not could. You had to stand at a 30-degree angle in order to. It was so dangerous that I remember, like, not pre-flighting an aircraft once. And the guy's like, what do you mean you didn't pre-flight? And I'm like, dude, 60-knot winds might blow the panels off. Also, I did not like to pre-flight. It was always like, because the crew chiefs were like, I'm on board this aircraft. I just DNT'd it 5 minutes ago, man. A DNT is a daily and turnaround. You have to do a daily inspection on the aircraft. You have to do the turnaround inspection every week, but and they're different. Turnaround has more and slightly different things, but there's no point in doing a daily and not doing the turnaround because it only added like 5 minutes to the procedure. So you just did it. So we did weekly inspections on them every day. I don't really know why they just didn't do a turn. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Whatever. There's a reason for it. I don't know. It wasn't really my ball. Even as an instructor pilot and as a functional check pilot and all that, I never bothered. I don't care. Sometimes I care about the way things work, but a lot of times I'm like, black box, good enough. Here's my point. This is what I'm trying to achieve. I don't give a shit about little details. It's why I hated being a management consultant, because you had to know about the little details. Why? In fact, actually don't. It's just that my that's how they do it, because that's how they are. Most of the guys that are good at that job, there's a certain, like, people that are successful in the business world, all right, have a certain personality, generally speaking. And it's analytical and slow. Why? Because it drives them to question things, look at data, not just take the word, not just go by feelings, think about what, you know, use thought, logic, and reason, and agonize over decisions. I tend to not be that way. And people that are that way annoy me. So, or they can. but that particular trait. So they love to understand, not all, but and especially it was my boss that actually, everything I just said, yeah, but then this is just applies to my boss. He loved to like take things apart and understand everything inside it. So a normal project that say would take a month would take 2 months because you had to go beyond the normal analytical requirements of something because he wanted to know. How often was that germane? I would say 10% of the time. So if you were to take out that particular trait of his, you would have gotten slightly different answers 10% of the time. How much of a difference would that make? I don't think it, because these, it's a fantasy. It's an illusion. They're creating a sense of control in their world, much like wearing masks to prevent disease. If it was that easy, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it doesn't do anything. It definitely keeps surgeons from spitting into open whatever. But as you're walking around, I don't know, man. I don't know. It certainly doesn't protect you, because if you think about, if you're trying to stop a droplet of basically spit or lung juice or whatever from hitting you, right, and causing an infection, if it hits the thing on your face, it's gonna get into you. That's why there's like a special mask called the special kind of mask that actually do that, but a regular cloth face covering will not. It does protect you from dust, so there's that. Anyways, right, Madden. Why am I not playing Madden? So I'm talking to my buddy, and I'm like, nah, I don't play it anymore. I really stopped playing video games in a serious way. I did a little bit in elementary school on my... I had a crappy computer. We bought a computer in 1987 from, like, 1984. It didn't work real well. And so because it didn't work real well, I didn't have a mouse. It like made it super hard to use. And then the stuff I was learning in school didn't apply to it, because you need a mouse and you need different, like, it was so, I mean, it turned on and it was really, really slow. Like, it was the processor itself was like a generation or two behind current processor. So even when it met the minimum requirements to play certain games, which it did, so it was a CGA graphics adapter, which meant purple and green were like the only colors. It was like a mixture of those. Well, black and white, like four colors basically. So I would see a box and it would have this awesome graphics, and I'd go to play the game and it was like, wait, why doesn't it look like the box? I didn't know about requirements. I bought a bunch of games that just didn't work. We had to take them back. Some of them I didn't even, like, I bought one game called Thieves Guild. And it had these, I was like, dude, these graphics are awesome. I want this game. I get the game and it turns into text only. I'm like, text? Oh, dude, there were a ton of text only games. So a lot of early adventure games were just text. Like, there's a game called Zerg. You're on the moon and you make decisions like, go, what do you do? It's just like blank thing. You type in, look around, and it tells you, oh, this is the stuff. And you have to type, pick up a screwdriver or go west. Go east, and then you would die. It would send you back to the beginning, and you were trying to figure out the flow chart of how to get through this game correctly in the right order. And then they took that a step further, and there's a bunch of games, King's Quest, Police Quest, there's at least another one or two games like this where it's basically a text-driven game, but you're walking around a screen, so you sort of... There's a graphical representation, but it's still essentially pick up screwdriver. You had to type in the right, and sometimes if you use the wrong synonym, it didn't work. And when you're a fifth grader playing a game made for like nerdy adults, it's hard. The way me and my friends, and we were like, I was the dumbest. I was always the dumbest of my friends. I'm not trying to be funny or insult myself for low self-esteem or anything, but I hung out with guys like 180 IQ that were in like the super gifted and talented classes that were over my, and I was desperately trying to keep up. It's like, imagine you're in athletic and all your buddies are like Olympic athletes and you're merely a college all-star, you know? Like, sometimes it was tough. They would kind of be like, dude, you're dumb. Nick's dumb. And by normal standards, I'm actually really smart. But when you're in a room full of geniuses and you're only, you know, all your friends are three standard deviations and you're only 2.5, feel it. And it's not negative. They weren't like, they were my friends. It wasn't one of those situations where I was like the kid that got picked on. And they couldn't pick on me because I was physically superior to them. So, but like I used to taunt a friend of mine because I used to use the word oxymoron the same way you'd use the word moron. So like, man, don't be an oxymoron. He's like, that's not what it means. It would go crazy. It was hilarious. And then I didn't know. At first, I didn't know. I just thought the word sounded funny. And then I learned the meaning. By the way, some indoctrination in school. Every time they'll use the word oxymoron, military intelligence was used. I think it's a holdover from Vietnam. But we didn't actually... The military wasn't the problem in Vietnam. The problem was the population did not want to fight that war anymore. The other weird thing is, like, you read about the history and you find out that the people that got us into it viewed it as like an opportunity to get poor guys. Like, they were like, oh, when we went to World War II, I was poor. And I came back and I got the GI Bill and I went to college and now I'm rich. Let's do that for poor kids and black kids. Seriously, was the thought. We'll send them to war. They get to do their war and they earn their right to jump up into the middle class. That is not how the people involved viewed it. The people being drafted. I got drafted. I went to World War II and I came back and I got GI Bill and everything was awesome. Everything is awesome. But this next generation of kids were like, no. I want to smoke weed and flip burgers, bro. I'm like chasing tail. And now you got me like doing Bungle in the Jungle. Like, I ain't no fortunate son. What? Prank call. And it's funny because, you know, you see the movie Platoon. And it, you know, hits some of these points. The Oliver Stone North. Oliver North is Charlie Sheen in like the character in the movie. I can't remember the guy's actual name. He was like some rich family decides to go to Vietnam. They're like, you're an idiot. He's like, no, I have to like do my country, dude. And he comes back like, that was bull. I was a little bit of Charlie Sheen, except not as wealthy. So what does that got to do with Madden? I don't know. But come back to part two where I keep talking about why I don't play Madden anymore.